What's up, iRaters? Welcome to episode 11 of iRations, The Uplifter. My name is Drake Peterson, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is our weekly podcast. We are here on all podcast platforms every week to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. Today's episode is all about the newest single, Right Here, Right Now. We are going to take apart the song piece by piece and figure out how this song was made. But before we get to that, let's get to the news. Last week on The Uplifter, we premiered Chill Out, At Home Session, a quarantine version of Chill Out. And to go with that, this past Tuesday, we just dropped the video to go along with it. If you have some time, go to irationmusic.com to check it out or watch it on the iRation YouTube. But wait, there's more. This week, we decided to release not one, but two music videos. The official video for Right Here, Right Now is out right now. And by right here, right now, I mean today. If you are one of the awesome people that submitted pictures or videos holding a Right Here, Right Now sign, you should go check the video out and see if you can spot yourself. With productions of videos being canceled, this was a bit of a challenge, but the result was absolutely stunning. So just go check it out on the iRation YouTube or irationmusic.com. And as always, there's lots of iRation merch and swag out there, including some crew tees to help the iRation crew out during these difficult times, as well as some new lower-priced Coastin bundles to go along with the release of the newest album, Coastin. The album comes out in a few weeks on July the 10th, and if you haven't had a chance to pre-save it, go to iTunes or Spotify and click that button. And as always, you can check all of this stuff out at irationmusic.com or click the link in the description. It's now time for our newest segment called Sample This, where we take one iRation song and break it down. In this segment, you will be hearing samples and sound clips from the studio version of Right Here, Right Now. Today, joining us are drummer Joe Dickens and bassist Adam Taylor. What's up, boys?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
So this song came out fairly recently. It's really about living in the present. Is that correct, Adam?
Yeah, that's right. It's all about living in the right here, right now.
Well, it's a very catchy song. Joe, I want to talk a little bit about the shuffle beat. Can you explain exactly what a shuffle beat is?
So shuffle beat for Right Here, Right Now, it's different from a straight beat in that it sort of plays with the tempo a little bit.
Yeah, so it has, would you say it has a little more swing to it?
Yes, it does have more swing. Swinging, exactly, and that's different for us. It just, at least in the past, we kind of stayed more in the straight beat kind of realm, and so when we were like, let's do a shuffle beat, it was very refreshing and it was really fun.
For me, the swing is, it's just kind of the movement of the beat, and I think when you say the word swing, I kind of think of a pendulum rather than a train, let's say, something that's going very one track. The swing kind of, yeah, it goes back and forth kind of. And it just creates a different groove. It's like the chug of a train.
Did you use the same drum set on this tune that you did on all the other tracks? Or is there a special one that you use for Right Here, Right Now?
We use the same drum kit for pretty much the whole album, except for we just interchange snares and maybe like hi-hats here and there. But other than that, it was the same kit. We just did maybe like different tunings or EQs. This is the Yamaha Absolute Birch Custom, basically. Wood shells. Sounds phenomenal.
Adam, let's talk a little bit about your bass line on this, and let's talk about the song Quarterly.
Bass-wise, we started, I mean, for me, the part I kind of remember the most is maybe working on the verse, and what we do to write, I think, was we would loop a verse section and sit around a MIDI keyboard after we had kind of the drum beat and everything figured out. And for the verse, the bass is like, it's got a root, then it walks down to the second chord. And I would do that on a MIDI keyboard first. And I tend to like doing that as the process because it kind of, especially for me, who's not a keyboard player, it helps me kind of stay in the pocket of things. And usually I'll stay in that root to about root fifth. So, I mean, from that one, going from the C down to the F on the verse, at least, that's a really cool pocket way to play. And kind of fits with the way the guys wrote too.
And Adam, if correct me if I'm wrong, when we started writing this, I think one of the goals was to just create space within the groove and the song, basically, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think for that song and for kind of reggae songs in general, space, it's kind of the notes that you don't play that are the most heard. And I think for me, yeah, for, and I'm sure for you with drums, but I definitely enjoy writing with more space. Like if you look at a song like Time Bomb, you know, three notes on the hook, but a lot of space left over in the phrasing. So I think that kind of style is kind of hip hop oriented and helps to make the song be a little more groovy.
The two of you guys have been playing together for, I'm not going to say how many years, but a long time. And I will say that the partnership between the drummer and the bass player is very important. Do you guys record separately or do you record together at the same time?
So I think it just depends song by song. But for example, if we're tracking the drums first, I'll still go and sit in the booth with him or in the room and play along. And it just kind of helps, I think, knowing when to kind of accentuate something, when a fill will come, because you can kind of riff off each other. And I think we both can kind of tell non-verbally, or we can communicate non-verbally and know when to push, when to lay back. And it's definitely easier for me if I play along with Joe in the room. So that definitely helps.
I'd say Sly and Robbie from Black Uhuru and like many other reggae bands, they were drum and bass for pretty much everyone coming out of the reggae scene 20, 30 years ago. And I think Adam and I sort of kind of model our sound and vibe off of those guys.
Yeah, and for me, I made the switch after our self-titled album from a 4-string to a 5-string just to kind of give a little bit more of that sub-synth kind of dub sound, I guess. And it's all over the new record, too, especially with Right Here, Right Now, on the hook, kind of playing off the two chords, but with a lot of slides and using the low B string a lot, which gives you a really good kind of reggae feel.
So this track features Scott from Stick Figure and Eric from Revolution. How did this all come to fruition, Joe?
Well, when we pretty much wrote the song and tracked it, we were already thinking about any kind of collaborations we could do. And just based on the vibe of the song and it being a shuffle beat and basically like deep reggae kind of sound, like we were just thinking who would be the best fit for a collaboration on the song, and who better than Eric Rachmani and Scott from Stick Figure.
Yeah, we met Eric when we were going to UCSB, so way back in the day. We've had a long friendship.
Live in the present. You know, I always have the chance to be grateful and count my blessings.
And then I believe we met, we became friends with Scott on a Revolution tour. I believe it was Reb, Us, The Green, and Stick Figure. But yeah, so they were obvious choices, like Joe said, and they definitely complement the song.
Find your peace of mind when the mind runs clear. Holler really knows what I'm doing right here.
I talk to Scott probably every other week or so. We'll rap out about something, and I know Eric just had a baby, but we'll talk a lot, and I know Mike and Eric have a relationship through gaming. Sometimes they're playing FIFA or whatnot, but yeah, we're really close with both bands, so it was a pretty easy process to, once they heard the track, I think they were both stoked and knew they could bring their own original sound to the song.
Let's talk about guitars. Micah Brown definitely was shredding towards the end, I was actually there at the session when he was doing that whole, like, the entire guitar solo.
Noodles McGee.
Noodles McGee, he's always noodling, just can't help it. I want to talk about, was it shadow picking?
Yeah, shadow picking is basically just a muted guitar pick over a bass line. And it kind of, especially when you're using a 5-string, it just helps round out the note a little more. Especially if you're listening on, you know, a car stereo or even on your iPhone, it just helps give the note some more definition. It makes it rounder. So typically if I'm making a demo or anything like that, I'll always add a pick on top of it, and it just makes the bass pop out from the mix a little more. And with the shadow picking, the technique, I guess, is to kind of mute the strings of the guitar. So you kind of rest the edge of your palm here on the strings. And it just kind of gives it a little more of that thunk thunk sound. Instead of letting the string ring out, it just has a very short decay. And yeah, like I said earlier, gives that little bit of definition to the bass notes.
I want to talk about the melody that comes in towards, I guess, the bridge section.
Well, it's funny because it was there, I believe, even back when we were doing the demo, and it has a very Western twang feel to it. And it's funny because our producer, King David, didn't like it, you know, when we were kind of coming down to what was going to stay and what was going to go. And it was interesting that he didn't really like it, but I remember Micah and a few others really did like it. And I thought it kind of gave this really interesting take on what was, you know, just a very straightforward dub reggae-ish sounding song, and kind of gave it that element that MB is really good at. He's good at that picking, the folk, the kind of more, like you say, the noodling. But yeah, so to me, it kind of gives this like Western feel. Like I feel like I'm in an old Western or something.
I agree. When he did that, it kind of took the song, it kind of started to go, you know, take it to a different place or a different vibe, like, you know, it's going somewhere else. And I think when MB does that, he gets in the room and he just starts playing, and just whatever comes to mind, like, that's literally what happens, and it's usually fire.
Yeah, he's unique in that he can, you know, we'll say no, not that, or like, you know, or suggest that, and then he can immediately switch styles very easily. He's a very good player in that he can adjust to different techniques. And I think a lot of times, you know, if I have a part in my head and the guys aren't vibing it, I'll be like, oh, bummer. But I think he's very good with just not taking the music too personally and just being more creative on the spot. Whereas I think a lot of us kind of need to do more homework and kind of hash something out. And it's not as easy to create right on the spot.
The big gong in the beginning. Do you guys know anything about that?
Yeah, so that was recorded actually in Japan, in Hokkaido, in an old Shaolin temple. Thousands and thousands of dollars were spent on a single gong hit. Dong.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Psych. No, psych. That didn't. We had Jody actually scale the city hall here in Ventura, and he recorded a single bell hit at the strike of 1 a.m. And that's the sound you're hearing today.
Barely evaded the cops.
Keyboard wise, there's a little bit of there's some organ on this, right? There's some piano.
Yeah, that's correct. He recorded on the grand in the studio at Santa Barbara Sound Design, for the piano at least. Organ, I'm assuming he used his Nord.
It was a B3.
B3 with a Leslie or something.
What is a bubble, Adam?
A bubble is typically where, let's say, especially if you're playing it on like an electric piano, what you would do is you'd split the keyboard. So the lower register notes would be an organ, and then the right side would be a piano. And you're hitting the piano in the normal spot, but you're adding your left hand before, so it goes. So it kind of is the same as what we were talking about with the shuffle drum beat. It kind of gives it a chugging sound that helps to drive the whole song. Uh, Drake, why don't you tell us a little bit about the recording of the horns on Right Here, Right Now?
For the horns, towards the end, like I doubled MB's guitar riff, and all of that stuff was done in like a little tiny hallway, and we mic'd it from pretty far away just to kind of get like an older sound. And I used it's called a plunger. It's literally a plunger, and you just take it and you put it at the edge of the bell, and then as you slowly open the plunger away from the bell, you get like a. Then also used a flugelhorn, which is like it's similar to a trumpet, but it's just a little bit bigger, has a fatter sound, almost like a French horn. Now joining us are Micah Poosh, Micah Brown, and Kaysen. What's going on, boys?
Oh, hey.
Sadu.
Sado. So, Joe and Adam, we just had a nice little discussion about Right Here, Right Now. We really broke the song down, but now I want to go into the mantra of Right Here, Right Now, and the living in the present. I want to know what that means to all of you and how you all live by this mantra. Poosh, can we start with you?
Yeah, well, I think right in the moment that we are living in currently, we're almost being forced to live in the right now and the right here, just because we're in a quarantine and we're in our homes for the most part, and the options of what we can do publicly are very limited. So I think that, you know, Americans in general right now are just kind of forced to live in the right here and right now, and we're coming to terms with the fact that, you know, you have to kind of look at your everyday life and kind of revamp and relook at everything that around you and go, well, maybe I kind of take this for granted. I take going to the grocery store for granted. I take going to a restaurant and getting food for granted, and all those little things that we kind of take for granted, especially as Americans, just because stuff is so easy for us. I think that just becomes, you know, it's almost a healthy reset for a lot of people. Me especially, I think, you know, I'm at home with the baby, so I wouldn't be going very many places anyway. But it really helps to just, you know, be focused on the time that I have here at home, or otherwise we would have been on tour. I'm here with the baby, getting to spend the kind of crucial first months with her, being a part of this whole process and helping Chloe. So, yeah, for me, that's what it's all about. And I know it's a different experience for everybody, but I think, you know, it's important. I think it's been a really important lesson for me overall.
How about you, Kaysen?
For me, it's just living life to the fullest and seizing every opportunity on every day. You know, I like to wake up with the rising of the sun and maximize my day. You know, start early and get out there and try to get in the water. Usually is what I try to do first thing. Get some exercise and I start feeling the energy of the day. I always have a lot more energy when I wake up early and get out and do something. And then, yeah, just being present and seizing the opportunities that every day offers. You know, we can tend to get into a rut of doing the same old stuff, you know, watching too much television or Netflix or whatever. There's so many great things out there to go explore. I'm fortunate to be on the Big Island right now, where there's even more to explore. But no matter where you are, you know, I'm sure you have your things that you like to do, and just keeping a positive mental attitude and trying to spread that positivity. It's easier to spread it when you're embracing it yourself. So that's what it means for me.
Speaking of positivity, just a little side note, the paddle out that you did a few days ago in Hawaii, Casey, you want to talk about that? That looked very sick.
Yeah, so we actually got the idea from the island of Maui. They did it last week Sunday, and we saw it on Instagram. And being out here on the Big Island, we're pretty isolated. It doesn't seem like there's a lot that we can do. So we saw they did that. And my girlfriend, Talea, she is Black and German. And so she felt like she wanted to do something to help out with the movement that's going on in the world right now. And so we organized a paddle out on Tuesday, and it went very well. Had a good turnout, and everyone was really stoked. Everyone was feeling the good positive energy, and everyone at the paddle out was asking when the next one was happening, and we're like, well, we haven't planned anything yet. But then the next day, the Black Girls Surf, that's her Instagram, at Black Girls Surf, she organized a global paddle out in memory of Breonna Taylor. It was Breonna Taylor's birthday. And so we decided to hold another one, this time at Hapuna Beach here on the Big Island, and got an even better turnout, probably about 250 people. Got right up in the West Hawaii today. And yeah, it was just really super cool, you know, to see everybody come out to support such a, you know, a positive change. People here, I feel like it's more about showing the unity, because over here we have so many different races of people and people from all different walks of life that move here. And so just bringing people together was the main thing. And there were some great speeches that went down on the beach. And I think just sort of bringing light to everything that's going on and sort of keeping it at the front of everyone's mental focus was the main idea. And big props to Talea for setting that up. So yeah, it was super cool.
Micah Brown, let's go to you and talk about living in the present. How does this mantra apply to you in your life?
I think about the phrase stop and smell the roses, and how it's easy to get caught up in the daily grind and this goal-oriented mindset that a lot of people have, which is good. You want to set goals, you want to have aspirations for the future, but you also have to set aside time to enjoy the journey, whatever that means to you. A lot of people, you know, they take vacations where you have these long chunks of time in your day to read or meditate, do yoga, those kind of things. That's kind of what it means to me. Just not losing sight of the big goals that you have, but enjoying a little bit of the ride along the way and appreciating the beauty around you, taking a walk with your dog or taking some time to learn about something that you've been interested in. I've been kind of getting lost in just reading all the craziness regarding like QAnon and all this stuff, and like,
oh no, that's an endless pit.
I know, it's crazy to think like some of these people actually believe some of this stuff, you know. And that's, it's just like the more knowledge I can arm myself with, the better. And you know, we're in this post-truth world, and it's easy to get caught up in the madness. So that's how I've been enjoying the present, is just educating myself here and there when I can, when I have an hour or two to do so. But yeah, I think it's just taking time to enjoy the situation that you're in and take your eyes off of maybe what's the future that you've been trying to instill or build towards, and enjoy the present.
How about you, JoJo?
For me, living in the right here, right now, I guess everything sort of changed when the whole virus thing happened. We basically just got off tour, and like right when we got home, there was like quarantine, can't do anything. Everybody started wearing masks and it got really serious. So, you know, kind of had to switch up the whole daily routine, daily life thing. All of a sudden you're inside for you know, more than half the day, 75% of the day, trying to figure out something new to do, keep your time occupied positively. And that definitely took a couple weeks to like figure something out where you're not like, I'm bored, I want to drink, or like something stupid like that, waste your time. But yeah, basically just house projects, like painting stuff, I don't know, yard work. And luckily in California, at least here in Ventura and most of Santa Barbara, there was no sort of like beach lockdown for surfing. So that kind of worked out to our advantage, where at least we had our, Adam and I had our outlet here in California. We could go get our exercise, and that was huge for us. Otherwise, I think that would have been kind of a shocker for us, like mentally and physically. So, I mean, there was people coming up from LA, you know, Orange County, just to surf here in Ventura and Santa Barbara County. So they started shutting the beach down again when they saw all these like crowds of people coming from out of town. So that was kind of eye-opening to see. But that was a little off topic. But anyways, about the right here, right now, just going off what Case and MB sort of said, is just occupy your time positively and don't waste the moment, even though you have to change up your daily routine.
How about you, Adam?
For me, I guess it's for me as a person, I always have a lot of FOMO, like fear of missing out, and I kind of tend to think more in the future or dwell in the past. So I guess kind of recently a buddy of mine, Alan, kind of turned me on to meditation and positive affirmations. And so I've been starting my days with, I put my beanie over my eyes just to kind of block out kind of other sensory things. And I turn on Spotify meditation and kind of just work your breathing and, also like the positive affirmations and doing that kind of thing. And it's kind of started, it gives me this whole new direction where some days I'll just kind of, you know, be, my brain is racing, or I'll go and just be sitting on the couch or something. It kind of gives your day a little purpose. And then another thing I read was start your day with making your bed, and already you're off to the right start and things like that. And, you know, and then today I took my dog down to the beach, and, you know, I noticed today was World Oceans Day, and there was a homeless guy that wanted something, and I had a dollar in my pocket. I helped out, and then I noticed a piece of trash. And it's just being present in the moment and trying to have a positive impact where I knew I was there and I could do these things, rather than thinking, oh, someone else will do it later. But yeah, just trying to have a little more purpose and slowing things down a little.
I was going to say real fast too, going back to going to that comment of making your bed, I know there's a famous speech that's been making the rounds from a naval officer that was giving his parting remarks upon his retirement. I don't remember who it was, but talking about starting your day with accomplishing one thing, and it can be a snowball effect where it allows you to be more productive because, you know, you, instead of just letting that bed not get made, it's something that you can say you achieved right away in the beginning of the day, and that can set you on to like a positive path for the rest of the day. So I agree with that statement, and I've been trying to do that too.
He obviously didn't have a newborn baby.
Well, you have other tasks. You know, your tasks may not be making the bed, it may be changing a diaper, but at least you're accomplishing tasks.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, yeah, for me, it's like I wake up and then I have to go back to sleep after like being up at like for 2 hours. So it's like, if I made the bed, I'd be making the bed with Chloe still in it. Like,
well, Marina usually makes our bed, but I'm usually in bed later than her, so it's on me now.
Next up, we are going to be answering some questions that you have all submitted. If you want to have your question read live on the air, text or call us at 805-225-6886. Our fan question today was texted by one of you, and it says, I don't know about you guys, but I love a good date night. Do you have any quarantine date night suggestions or things to keep my significant other feeling special? JoJo, I think you should go first.
All right. Things to keep your quarantine date night special. Let's start with taco night. And then how about sex? No?
tacos and sex is a bona fide.
I mean, this is an explicit show. We have the little checkbox, so I think we should.
That's
go
a, what is so friend. Explicit about saying sex? I don't think that's explicit.
And can you explain to the viewers what is sex?
I believe it's called coitus. And,
well, you make a taco and then you eat the taco.
Now we're getting closer to the explicit.
All right, so it's all about a nice taco night, Taco Tuesday, but maybe even on a Taco Monday. What about you, Kaysen? How are you and Talea keeping your love life spicy?
Well, obviously I like to cook, so that's a good thing to do in quarantine if you're able to go get some quality ingredients and get your girlfriend as your sous chef makes it easier, and you guys if you can find a balance in the kitchen where you don't get at each other's throats, that's pretty fun. And maybe split a bottle of sake. That's kind of what we've been on lately. Enjoy a nice glass of cold sake. I know Adam enjoys his Nigori sake, but Micah's more of a Junmai Ginjo or Junmai Daiginjo.
Hi.
Case, do you guys have any, like if you cook, does she do the dishes or do you guys just split that all down the middle?
Well, I've been trying to teach Talea. She's a fairly decent chef already. She has kitchen skills, but she needs direction. So I kind of take the role of head chef and dictate her all the difficult things like washing lettuce and chopping things, and then I get all the credit.
So boom. She's like the line cook, yeah. Doing all the like mise en place.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Poosh, how about you? What are you doing to pamper your lovely wife who is now a mother?
Well, parents, it's, you know, when I was not a parent, you listen to parents talk and you kind of shut your brain off because you're like, oh, whatever, people with the kids talking again. But as a parent, it becomes 100% like trying to get the other person a nap or like more sleep, because you're just, the sleep is just really what's hard about having a baby. It's like you just, the baby has to be fed every 3 to 4 hours, or if they wake up, then you can't just like let it sit there like crying in its own poop or like pee. So you have to, you kind of have to be responsible. It's not like when you're like, you know, when we're in the bus and I hear like, you know, Adam or somebody start crying across the hall from me, I don't wake up. I just let him keep crying, let him cry it out, you know.
I tend to cry.
Mommy, I want to go home. And just let him go. But no, so yeah, I mean, for me, it's just about taking the, like, for, I've been taking the night shifts with the baby, give her a bottle at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever that is, and then I go back to sleep at, I'm have to be up because you have to kind of keep them upright for like at least 45 to an hour so they don't throw up all over themselves when you put them back down. So then I'm up, and then I go try to go back to sleep and sleep, try to get another like 3 or 4 hours, and then she'll wake up at that time and kind of take the next shift so she can get a sleep overnight. So that for me, it's just kind of doing something to help her get some sleep because she was the one that was pregnant for 9 months. And, you know, for the first 6 weeks with the baby, had to like be there every single time feeding, breastfeeding. So that's our, you know, world right now is just trying to get the other person sleep.
And are you guys,
have you guys left the baby with anybody and gone away?
Yeah, we did for the first time this weekend. Chloe's mom took the baby for, and I think it was like 2 hours because I had a haircut and Chloe had a birthday drive-by for one of her friends. So, yeah, we were like, instead of her mom just riding in, I don't even know, her mom, we didn't actually leave the baby. I think her mom just drove the car and Chloe just rode in the back with the baby because you can't be in the car with the baby alone. You have to have somebody riding in the back because she's faces rear. And so you have to make sure that their head doesn't like go like this, and they look, you know.
This might be a silly non-parent question, but so you guys are never sleeping at the same time. Someone has to be up.
We do. So like basically, I'll wait up at like we'll feed her at like 9:30, 9, and then I'll, if Chloe's really tired, she'll go to sleep, and then I'll wait till like the next feeding, which would be like midnight, 12:31, and then or 1:30. If she's still asleep, I'll wake her up, feed her, and then get the thing and get her back to sleep, and then I'll lie down and go to sleep. So it's, I'll probably sleep at like 3, and then I wake up at like 6-ish, 7, 6:30. If it's, she falls asleep by 2, then I'm up by like, you know, 5:30, 6, and then I wake up, bit the bottle, do that, change her diaper, feed her, and then I try to get her back to sleep as fast as possible, and then I go to sleep. So yeah, for the first like overnight and in the morning, we're not asleep at the same time. We're kind of taking turns. But the way that we have it set up is so that Chloe can get like, try to get 8 hours in a row, and then I can get 8 hours like broken up.
At what age are you, is it normal to like try like a sleep schedule where they sleep all night?
6 months, you can kind of start to, which is psycho to think about because it's basically just, we're only like 2 months in. But 6 months, they start to kind of, they're on more solid food. You can get them on solids around like 4 months, 3 months. Some people are earlier, but like 4 months when they say solid food. And then you can kind of get them more on a lengthier schedule where they can start to get closer to sleeping longer periods or sleeping overnight, like towards the morning. And that we're just kind of holding out till then. But generally, it's like almost to like the first year is like basically like this. So it's kind of psycho, but I'm just dealing with it.
I wonder who's going to have the next baby in this group.
You, Drake.
Yes. All right. Adam, what about you? What do you and Haley do for a quarantine date night?
We've been cooking a lot as well. I think one thing that's kind of different that we've been doing just to kind of get out of the boredom thing is, and because it's been really hot lately, instead of sleeping upstairs in the bedroom, we'll make the bed on the couch and then sleep with the slider open. And it kind of just switches up the monotony of being inside all day. And that's just been kind of something fun. And we have like a movie night, and then you can, you know, go upstairs really quickly, brush your teeth and not lose any of that tired feeling and rush down and fall asleep with the TV. But yeah, we've just kind of been, I've been enjoying being inside and slowing down the whole, instead of going out to a happy hour and a bite to eat, just kind of cooking and spending more time preparing a nice meal. And then, yeah, like a movie night and just kind of changing things around in the apartment too, like even moving plants around and just kind of, so you just kind of limit the boredom and the monotony of the quarantine kind of vibe.
Changing the order of your surfboards and your...
it's funny because these are the boards that I mostly don't ride. There's four in my car that are my go-to. So I keep a little 5'4" fish for the point breaks. I got my Graveler step up shortboard. And then I have lately the waves have been really good here. So I have kind of a board for barreling beach break, which is a little longer. And then if Joe and I, like later the wind looks like it might calm down, we'll put a longboard on the roof. And we live right by, is that C Street behind you, Joe?
It is.
So we can walk there. We can walk there. That's in our neighborhood. So we'll surf there for our sundowner. That's the new happy hour these days.
That was my dryer, not C Street.
MB, what about you? I know Marina loves her tequila. What are you doing to keep her happy during these times?
I think one thing, obviously we've been cooking a lot of meals and trying new recipes, and I think that's pretty common amongst everybody here. But one thing that we've tried to do is break up the nightly routine of television or screens and play a game, play cards, play a board game, talk. We also set up an outdoor dining table and a little zone that kind of expanded our living space and changed it up. So we've been eating a lot of meals outside, which is nice in the summer and spring days. You know, weather is a little bit cooler outside, the little breeze, sound of the birds, and it's a little more ambiance. So, but yeah, we've been playing a lot of games and so, you know, cause we do watch a lot of Netflix and stuff like that. Usually we've been saving that for when we go to bed or when we're getting winding down, and in the earlier part of the day, just do something else. Whether it's talk about each other's work days or play cards or what have you. And that's been fun. I think that'll be something that we will continue on even post-Q-teen.
Thank you all for answering this fan question. If you want to have your question read on the air, text or call us anytime, and that's literally anytime, at 805-225-6886. And thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Irations The Uplifter. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast platforms. We hope that you all stay safe out there. And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune into The Uplifter.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Skirt.
I'm only worried about right here, right now. Talking about right.